It's HBR and Helping Hand, Fridays on All Things Considered, then archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week it's Save Vietnam's Wildlife, a Vietnam nonprofit founded and run by Vietnamese and respected by conservationists around the world, primarily for their expertise in rescuing and rehabilitating pangolins. Pangolins are an endearing scaled mammal few in the U.S. have heard of. They're being eaten into extinction, primarily by people in China and Vietnam, consumed for their meat and an unproven belief their keratin-based scales have medicinal values. According to the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, pangolins are the most trafficked mammal on Earth. Vietnam is a gateway to China and one of the biggest markets for illegal wildlife products in the world. Today we'll hear how Save Vietnam's Wildlife have become a go-to source when live pangolins are seized, and how difficult it is to keep these critically endangered animals alive in captivity, making their rising rate of poaching and consumption an existential threat. We'll hear details of the ordeal pangolins are put through. We'll hear about the rescues this nonprofit conducts to save them, and the many ways we can support their efforts, including volunteering there in Vietnam and supporting them locally here and online. To tell the story for our U.S. airwaves, joining us today from Vietnam is a senior veterinarian from Save Vietnam's Wildlife, Lam Kim Hai, assisted for this conversation by an American on their staff, veterinarian manager Jessica Jimerson. Welcome, Hai and Jessica, and thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Explain who you guys are and what your mission is.
Our ultimate mission is to save the animal from extinction. Because, as you say, we are the gateway to trafficking of pangolin to China. Usually, animals get caught in the border.
You're saying the Vietnamese authorities bust the pangolin smugglers at the border, and that's how you guys end up getting them in your custody.
Yeah.
Save Vietnam's Wildlife has worked really hard to develop strong relationships with government. When they get these confiscations, then they call us. We go out to the rescue site with a whole team of people. We rescue the pangolin. Usually, they're in these netted bags. We cut them open out of the bags. Our veterinarians will do exams on the animals, treat their most critical problems, and then we rush them back to the rescue center where we can stabilize them and begin the rehabilitation process. At any given moment, we might be providing care for a rescue that may have happened a month ago, and then we get a phone call, and all of a sudden we're all rallying together. We have a bus that we will load up with wooden boxes, veterinary care, towels, all the different things that we'll need, and then we're rushing out, usually in less than an hour. Next thing you know, everything that you needed to get done at the rescue center is no longer the priority, and now you're out rescuing more animals.
When you find these pangolins, and I'll have a video that's up there that shows the heartbreaking nature of this team arriving. Take it from there about what has happened to these animals prior to that and then what you do with them.
The traders, they want to make as much money off the pangolin as possible. So what happens is they are force-fed a slurry of cornmeal, starch, mixed with water, and makes them weigh more. So these pangolins have been held down by men, tubes just forced down into their stomachs, and then they're just pumped full of this liquid formula that essentially makes them weigh a lot more. And then as soon as they're done being tube fed, they're curled up very tightly into a ball by the trafficker, put into the netting bag so that they can't unroll themselves. And essentially they roll and they roll and their scales will catch on the netting of the bag and they make little cuts everywhere, defecating on themselves, urinating on themselves. And before you know it, they've got small wounds that are infected all over their bodies. When we pull them out of the bags, they're usually fairly bloated. Their stomachs are pretty distended. Their gastric system has been so traumatized, and they've also been starved. They haven't eaten in who knows how long. They're incredibly malnourished and dehydrated. We identify the ones that need veterinary services, but we have to prioritize the ones that look like they'll survive. So we split animals off, we start putting them into boxes, and then we can start working on which ones need emergency treatment to save their lives. And it is really traumatic to see these things, and it's not like one individual you find is suffering from it. It's usually all of them, and it just causes a whole slew of problems once you get them back into the rescue center too. So it doesn't end at the rescue site. No, then they come back to the center and they've got a lot of problems, and it makes it even harder to keep them alive because they're starting behind the eight ball at that point.
It's very upsetting what they're put through. But on the flip side, explain how you and people listening right now can help.
My job is to identify areas where we can help them grow and expand on their education and skill set by either inviting other friends and colleagues from other zoo and wildlife veterinary hospitals here to train them, or by sending them places so that they can get further education. But really, it's about expanding their capacity to provide care for these animals. My job is in veterinary medicine, but we also have capacity builders in scientific research and husbandry as well. So this is a Vietnamese-run and operated organization. We're a nonprofit. Most of our funding, we do have donors, but it's a lot of our volunteer program. Volunteers who come here, they pay a fee, and that program is one of our most sustainable means of support.
Explain how that works and put out the call.
We welcome anyone who has an interest in animals or who just wants to come out and have an experience. They will pay to volunteer with us, and they can stay with us really as long as they want. We really do ask for a minimum of 2 weeks, but we also accept professional volunteers, maybe a human doctor, animal doctor. They have real applicable skills. They can come as a professional volunteer, and we can waive certain fees, and they don't have to pay that fee because they offer us something else, support in a way that we can hopefully build our capacity more and learn from these individuals. We can always use more medical support because of so many of our animals. They're either ill, they have some sort of disease that we can't understand because we lack the diagnostic capability, or it's a lot of wound management because they've suffered trauma from the trade, but also husbandry staff. So people who have experience working with wild animals.
If people wanted to make a donation to you guys to buy specific equipment that you might need.
Hematology equipment to help analyze the blood, x-ray equipment so that we can see what's going on inside of these animals. Ultrasound equipment, you know, basically we lack the ability to diagnose disease in these animals, which prevents us from curing their problems. So anyone who wants to donate towards any of that equipment, you know, we would be so humbled by that.
At their site, svw.vn, U.S. donors can make secure tax-deductible contributions. Making the plight of the pangolin even more desperate, they're very difficult to even keep, let alone breed, in captivity, yeah?
Pangolins haven't been kept in captivity with any ease whatsoever. There are certain zoos that are starting to keep certain African species, but for the most part, they struggle with the same exact husbandry-related issues. They have a very specialized diet. It's a specific insect diet. There are 8 different species, so then you try to apply it to another one, and it's completely different. And one of the things that we come across, it's a challenge, is, you know, we want to report the things we're doing and share the information, but we barely have the time to get our day-to-day work done, let alone then try to publish information and share with other wildlife rescues. And we don't really know that we are successful in keeping pangolins in captivity long-term because we rehabilitate them and then we release them.
How do you release them and feel secure in knowing they're not going to get caught again?
At our release sites, we are starting to put in anti-poaching enforcement teams, and we're also working with the government to keep sites protected and do a lot of workshops at the release sites with local people to talk about illegal wildlife trade, poaching, why it's wrong, the species that are endemic to their area and why they're precious. And it really is working on behavior change, and the law is improving. The pangolins are protected. So if a trafficker gets caught with a pangolin, there are fines, and do they go to jail at all?
Yeah, they go to jail. So they get 1 billion Vietnam dong.
That's the fine you're saying?
1 billion Vietnamese dong is the fine.
Yeah.
But no jail, Hai. They don't go to jail.
For a certain number of animals, they will have different punishment.
Mm.
So there was a case that they have 15 animals and they actually go to jail. Yeah.
So they had 15 animals.
Yeah.
Then they go to jail. But if they have one animal, maybe they just get the fine.
Yeah.
In terms of the best ways people can support you, people can make a contribution, help you to buy equipment. People can also volunteer. Speak to the most important ways.
That's the thing, is that you don't have to have like a wildlife conservation degree or a background in wildlife conservation to become a conservationist. You know, we have people helping us all the time that they don't work with animals in the slightest, but they come here and they volunteer, or they just talk about pangolins. They share information about pangolins on their social media accounts. It's just spreading the word, because the more that the world cares about pangolins, the more that there is social pressure in these countries, like in Southeast Asia, that all of a sudden people care about this species and creating like a public interest in a species that may influence younger generations of people in Southeast Asia that may have otherwise consumed pangolins. They might be less inclined if they see it on like global social media that people actually care about these species and why. So I think that's a really important way, and it's an easy way that people can help save the species.
So here's how you can reach Save Vietnam's Wildlife, svw.vn. You can make a secure donation online, info@svw.vn. Look for Save Vietnam's Wildlife on Facebook. You get the latest updates on the harrowing rescues they pull off. We've put some of these really touching videos into our Hawaii Public Radio Helping Hand post. Full interview, the radio feature, and all their contact information and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org. Save Vietnam's Wildlife. Jessica Jimerson, veterinary manager. and Dr. Lam Kim Hai, staff veterinarian, an NGO that's in Vietnam, run by Vietnamese, dedicated to saving these animals. I'm really grateful that you guys would take the time to do this. I can't imagine how strong all of you are to go there on the scene and pull those animals out of those little bags and to provide them the medical care that they need. So I hope that this segment gets you some publicity. And on behalf of all the pangolins you're saving, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for this opportunity, honestly. Thanks for being so patient with us.
Yeah, opportunities, yeah.